Lesson 9. Outcomes. Differentiate between gross decontamination and emergency decontamination. Decontamination. Decontamination, DECON, is an essential activity that must be considered at any hazardous materials or terrorism incident to ensure the safety of emergency responders and the public. Emergency decontamination should be established at all hazmat incidents. Contamination is the transfer of a hazardous material to persons, equipment, and the environment in greater than acceptable quantities. There are two types of contamination. Direct contamination, when there is contact with the source of contamination. Cross-contamination, also called secondary contamination, when contamination occurs without contacting the direct source. Contaminants may be solids, liquids, or gases. Contaminant hazards vary depending on the material involved, but may be divided into the following types: chemical, physical, or biological. Contamination can be external, on the outside of the body or PPE, or internal, on the inside of the body. Decontamination, DECON, or contamination reduction, the process of removing hazardous materials to prevent the spread of contaminants beyond a specific area and reduce contamination to levels that are no longer harmful. Decontamination prevents exposures to hazardous materials by removing contaminants. Exposure is the process by which people, animals, or the environment are subjected to, or come in contact with, a material, but the material may not have been transferred. For example, if you smell perfume, you have been exposed to it because some of the perfume molecules have entered your nose in order to be smelled. Exposure route equals inhalation. However, you are not likely to carry the perfume, or its smell, around unless you have actually been contaminated by the perfume, which implies that you got enough of the material on you that it physically remains there. In the same way, decontamination may not be necessary if an individual has been exposed to a hazardous material rather than contaminated by it. Decontamination is performed at hazmat/WMD incidents to remove hazardous materials from responders, victims, PPE, tools, equipment, and anything else that has been contaminated. Figure 26.67. Everyone and everything in the hot zone is subject to contact with the hazardous material and can become contaminated. Because of this potential, anything that goes into the hot zone passes through a DECON area when leaving the zone. There are four types of decontamination. Gross decontamination, decontamination phase where surface contamination is reduced as quickly as possible. Emergency decontamination, decontamination to remove the threatening contaminant from the victim as quickly as possible without regard for the environment or property protection. Technical decontamination. Decontamination using chemical or physical methods to thoroughly remove contaminants from responders, primarily entry team personnel, and their equipment, usually conducted within a formal decontamination line or corridor following gross decontamination. Mass decontamination. Decontamination of large numbers of people in the fastest possible time to reduce surface contamination to a safe level, with or without a formal decontamination corridor or line. Decontamination also provides victims with psychological reassurance. Some individuals who have been potentially exposed to hazardous materials may develop psychologically based symptoms, such as shortness of breath, anxiety, even if they have not actually been exposed to harmful levels of contamination. Conducting DECON can reduce or prevent these types of problems. It is important to continually assess the effectiveness of any decontamination operation. If monitoring determines that the selected method is not working, a different technique must be tried. The type of DECON operations conducted at an incident will be determined by a variety of factors, including, Figure 26.68. Number of persons requiring DECON. Type of hazardous materials involved. Weather, washing off contaminants with a hose stream may not be a viable option in cold temperatures. Personnel and equipment available. Although emergency responders may have considerable experience with DECON at hazmat incidents, performing DECON at a terrorist incident may require some changes to the procedures used. Hazmat/WMD incidents may involve large numbers of people that have to be quickly assessed for injury or exposure and then passed through a DECON corridor for treatment or safe sheltering away from the incident area, mass DECON. Also, since a terrorist incident must be treated as a crime scene, any clothing, equipment, or contaminated materials have to be protected as evidence and handled in accordance with locally adopted policies and procedures. Note, responders must be familiar with their organization's DECAN policies and procedures and how DECAN operations are implemented within the AHJ's incident command system. Regardless of the many variables that may be encountered at the incident, the basic principles of any decontamination operation are easy to summarize. Get it off. Keep it off. Contain it, prevent cross-contamination. Before initiating any type of decontamination, the answers to the following questions should be considered. Do victims need to be decontaminated immediately or can they wait? Is it safe to conduct DECAN? Is there a safe place to conduct DECAN? What alternative DECAN methods are available? Re there adequate resources to conduct the operation? If not, can additional resources be obtained in a timely fashion? What is the time limit available to conclude DECAN before the victims deteriorate further? Is the equipment you are attempting to decontaminate going to be usable again and/or is it more cost-effective to simply dispose of? Does DECAN save money or add value? Gross decontamination. Gross decontamination is a phase of decontamination where significant reduction of the amount surface contamination takes place as quickly as possible. Traditionally, gross DECAN was accomplished by mechanical removal of the contaminant or initial rinsing from handheld hose lines, emergency showers, or other nearby sources of water at hazmat incidents. Fire research continues to demonstrate that numerous carcinogens are present in almost all types of fires, most notably formaldehyde and benzene. Today's firefighters encounter fires with toxic gases, vapors, and particulate matter in smoke that contaminate firefighter protective gear and increase the risk of dermal contamination and the severity of inhalation injury. Because of increased awareness of firefighters' cancer risk, gross DECAN is now recommended at all emergency incidents involving exposure to potentially hazardous substances, including the toxic products of combustion, taking action. 2013. Recommended procedures based upon research for performing gross DECAN include using a soft bristle brush and damp towel to remove large debris from PPE. Removing all turnout gear, if possible. Washing and/or doffing PPE at the scene. Use wet wipes/baby wipes or wet towel to remove soot from your head, face, jaw, neck, underarms, hands, and lower legs. Using a hose line to rinse off all PPE and equipment. Isolating, cleaning, and decontaminating all PPE, tools, and equipment before reuse according to SOPs. Bagging contaminated equipment for travel back to the station. Machine washing structural firefighter protective clothing in designated machines back at the station. Showering immediately with soap and water thoroughly as soon as possible upon returning to the station, even if wet methods of DECAN were used at the scene. Cleaning gear and apparatus interiors immediately following cleaning yourself when returning to the station. Importance of clean PPE. PPE can absorb the carcinogens in smoke and therefore should be cleaned after every exposure to smoke. Whenever possible, firefighters should have two sets of PPE so that a clean ensemble is available while a contaminated one is being cleaned. If you only have one ensemble, wash the gear as soon as possible after each use. Gross decontamination is performed in the following situations. Emergency responders exposed to smoke or products of combustion before leaving the scene of the incident. Responders before undergoing technical decontamination. Victims during emergency decontamination. Persons requiring mass decontamination. One advantage of gross DECAN is that it is conducted in the field, so the reduction of contaminants is immediate. A disadvantage is that, while it may remove the worst surface contamination, it may not remove all contaminants. Gross DECAN is not complete DECAN, and it should be followed by more thorough decontamination afterwards. Skill Sheet 26-14 provides steps for conducting gross DECAN at an emergency scene involving toxic products of combustion. Emergency decontamination. The goal of emergency decontamination is to remove the threatening contaminant from the victim as quickly as possible. There is no regard for the environment or property protection. Emergency DECAN may be necessary for both victims and rescuers, Figure 26.69. If either is contaminated, individuals must remove their clothing, or PPE, and wash quickly. Victims may need immediate medical treatment, and they cannot wait for the establishment of a formal decontamination corridor. The following situations are examples of instances where emergency decontamination is needed. Failure of protective clothing. Accidental contamination of emergency responders. Immediate medical attention is required by emergency workers or victims in the hot zone. Emergency decontamination has the following advantages. Fast to implement. Requires minimal equipment, usually just a water source such as a hose line. Reduces contamination quickly. Does not require a formal contamination reduction corridor or Deccan process. However, emergency decontamination has definite limitations. All contaminants may not be removed, and a more thorough decontamination must follow. Emergency decontamination can harm the environment. If possible, measures must be taken to protect the environment, but such measures should not delay life-saving actions. The advantage of mitigating a life-threatening situation far outweighs any negative effects that may result. Seemingly normal incidents may involve hazardous materials. Emergency responders may become contaminated before they realize what the situation really is. When these situations occur, emergency responders need to withdraw immediately and follow local procedures for emergency decontamination. Should their air supply allow, responders should remain isolated until someone with the proper expertise and monitoring equipment can ensure that they have been adequately decontaminated. Emergency Deccan should be conducted in a safe area. Responders conducting emergency Deccan should wear appropriate PPE, and they should always avoid contacting contaminants or potentially contaminated surfaces. If responders do contact contaminants, they may need to decontaminate themselves. Follow SOPs for conducting emergency Deccan. Emergency decontamination procedures may differ depending on the circumstances and hazards present at the scene. Refer to Skill Sheet 26-15 for steps in conducting emergency decontamination. Decontamination records, additional reports and supporting technical documentation such as incident reports, after-action reports, and regulatory citations may be required by emergency response plans and/or SOPs. Exposure records may also need to be filled out and filed. Exposure records are required for all first responders who have been exposed or potentially exposed to hazardous materials. Follow agency SOPs for filling out exposure records. Information recorded on the exposure report can include activities performed, product involved, mission, equipment failures, PPE malfunctions, hazards associated with the product, symptoms experienced, monitoring levels in use, exposure circumstances. Follow-up examinations should be scheduled with medical personnel, if necessary. The individual's personal physician, and the individual's employer need to keep copies of these exposure records for reference. An activity log must be maintained during the incident or put together afterwards, as appropriate. At a minimum, information for the activity log should be captured during the incident debrief. The activity log may be pre-formatted, and must document the chronology of the events and activities that occurred during the incident and Deccan procedure. In the U.S., OSHA Standard 29 CFR 1910.1020, access to employee exposure and medical records, should be followed as a guide for requirements involving medical records and maintaining exposure reports. SOPs should spell out additional requirements for local record keeping and reports.